Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. What a great privilege is mine to be coming your way once again with a message of hope and cheer based on the promises of God. First, this scripture. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65:24. Then one more. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Aren't you glad that God is still on his throne? I am. Be strong, my soul in God. Be strong, my soul in God Most High, and trust his mighty arm. The hand that holds the starry sky preserves thee safe from harm. He who hath spread the heavens above and earth's foundations laid walks by thy side, a guide and God, and says, be not afraid. O rest my soul in God Most High, beneath his sheltering wing. While tempests wild go sweeping by, rejoice my soul and sing. He is thy buckler and defense, thy rock, thy strength and tower, and he will be thy confidence in each distressing hour. Be strong, my soul, in God Most High. Though helpless, poor, and low, the gleaming worlds that stud the sky, his power and glory show. And he whose word a world can form, bends low to hear my call. He feeds the birds, the grass adorns. He is my friend, my all. In the press time news for the month of May, I briefly mentioned the death of my sister Mavis Sales and that Frances and I attended her funeral in Dallas on April 24th. Her passing has brought back many thoughts of the years that are gone. Mavis was older than I. Among other events of her life, there stands out one thing which I believe will prove encouraging to those who believe in prayer. She was struck by an auto driven by one who had reportedly been drinking. She was given up for dead, but God performed a miracle. She did not die from the accident and lived more than 58 years longer to rear two children, to have families of their own. But let me give you this story in the words of my mother, Elmy Vice Murphy, who wrote in her book, Many Years of Life's Pathway. February 28, 1924, we had a 17-year-old daughter and two little sons attending school. She came in from school and told me the top of her head felt so light and strange somehow. I said, well, I've just been telling your papa I was feeling so much better. I didn't know but what I was going to get well. I was in poor health so much of my time. I had a quilt in the frames in the living room and was quilting on it. She insisted that I should let her fix supper. But she and her brother wanted to go to church that night and hear a missionary sing a song in a foreign language. After we had eaten supper, I told the children they'd better go on now and get with a group of children on up the street and go with them to church that night. But she wanted to wash up the supper dishes, so I would not have it to do. It was only a short distance to church. They were soon on their way. The two little sons had pulled off their shoes and was crawling on the floor under that quilt with their baby sister. And just a few minutes after the children had started to church, a messenger came running to our gate and calling Mr. Murphy. He said, a car has run over your children. Your daughter is killed. Don't know how bad the little son was hurt as he was crawling on the ground and praying for his sister. Some man had picked him up and took him in a home near there. I told my husband to run on to them, that I would come on with the little children. I picked the baby up in my arms and told the little boys to put on their shoes. I turned in the bedroom to get the baby's cap and cloak. As I reached up to take them off the hanger, a voice spoke to me. It was as clear as if it had been spoken aloud. I didn't have to ask who it was, for I knew it was the Lord. He asked, have you tried to raise your daughter for me? I said aloud, yes, Lord. Then he said, well, I will see that she don't die at this time. There my faith and anchor held. The little children and I were soon on our way to that awful scene. My husband had been and had seen the daughter lying on the ground as dead. Two doctors had seen her and pronounced her dead. He turned back to me and comforted me the best he knew how. He said, "Now you will just have to brace up, for she's killed." I said, "No, Daddy, she can't go at this time." He, of course, thought I was beside myself in trouble. A group of the school children came to meet us. As they cried and said, "Oh, Miss Murphy, she's killed." But I said, "No, she can't go at this time." Then another girl came to meet us, and she said, "Miss Murphy, Mavis has caught her breath." I said, "Yes, the Lord is not going to let her go at this time." Some of the neighbor men had picked her up on their hands and carried her into a home near there and put her on a bed just before we got to her. The church was across the street from that house, and the people had come over from the church. They were standing thick in the yard and porch, but they made room for us to pass in to her. I saw her laying as one dead on that bed. I fell on my knees beside her with a sad, bleeding, but rejoicing heart. Even though she was as one dead, I knew she would not go at this time, for the Lord had told me. Two other doctors were called in, which made four doctors in all, which gave no hope that she would live again. But I was held steady by faith. We had a daughter and her husband living at Georgetown, and another daughter boarding with them and teaching school. They were notified and came to us that night. After getting the little boy from the other home where he had been taken, they took all the little children to our home to care for them there. I was permitted to stay with my daughter 5 days and nights almost constantly. Our children visited us each day, and my husband stayed with us at night. We never knew we had so many friends that loved and sympathized with us and ready to do what they could. I love them yet for all they did for us to make our sorrows lighter. Life returned slowly as her pulse gained a few more beats each day. Yet they were not strong enough to move her. Just before day, after the friends that sat up with us went home and the folks of the home were still in bed, I would leave her daddy to sit by her, and I would slip out to pray. In the closet, I continued to ask the Lord to spare her life. And one morning, while I was praying, the Lord spoke to me, saying, "Haven't I told you she will not die at this time?" I said, "Yes, Lord." I felt so badly about the way I'd kept asking him to spare her life when he had told me to start with that he would. About the fourth day, I was almost given out in body. I was so tired, I was sick. I told some of the friends there that I felt the Lord would let us take her to our home the next morning where I could get more rest. That morning, three doctors were there. Her pulse had gained up to 53 beats, but they would not agree to have her moved. If we did, we would do it at our own risk. Men walked and carried her home that day on a stretcher. She continued to improve. In about 2 weeks, she was able to be up. She did not get to finish school with her classmates, but in June she entered business college and later went to work as a bookkeeper. That is proof the Lord did a complete work in healing her. She is, at the present time, living in Dallas. End of quote by my mother, Elmy Vice Murphy, from her book, Many Years of Life's Pathway. Now, if I may, let me finish this in my own words. I was one of those little fellas playing about the room when this word came to our home. Even though I was only 7 years of age, I do remember when this event happened. It seems to me that it was reported the engineers on the L&A Railroad refrained from blowing the whistle of the train at the nearby crossing in order not to disturb the 17-year-old girl who lay unconscious in the little house so close to the tracks. My mother passed away 23 years before Mavis died. Mavis lived to the age of 75, more than 58 years after the accident, and long enough to rear two sons and see her four grandchildren. Our Father, we ask that the faith of every listener may be strengthened to know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless each one in the way which they need most, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here now is a song, "I'd Rather Be an Old-Time Christian." By special recording, Harlan Sorrell sings all four parts.
In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say, there is nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I am walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I have longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing and pray and shout. All the burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. Praise God, true religion really.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.
I could tell the peace and joy and the wealth he does bestow. You would rather be an old-time Christian more than anything.